ശ്രീരാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് കീ വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദകി രാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർ കീ പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്ത വൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോവിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ഡ രാധാകുണ്ഡ ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാന കീ വൃന്ദാവന ധാം കീ മായപൂർ ധാം കീ ഭദ്രപുരി ധാം കീ ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാം കീ ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കീ ഗംഗമായി കീ ഗണമായി കീ തുളസിദേവി കീ ഭക്തിദേവി കീ സമവേത ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ഗോ അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപരായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ. നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതീതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവി ദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയേ കൃഷ്ണ സംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമ. മാധുര്യോജ്ജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗ ഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ. നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീ മൂർത്തയേ ദീനതാരിണി രൂപനൂഗ വിരുദ്ധാപ സിദ്ധാന്തധ്വന്ദഹാരിണി. നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയെ വിപ്രലംബര സാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമ. നമോ ഭക്തി വിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനോഗവരായതേ. ഗൗരാവിർഭവ ഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ട സജ്ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമ. വാഞ്ചകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധൂഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമ. നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വശേ നമ. പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്വികം. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാസിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപീശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. ചേതം സുരതോ വാംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമതേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വദാംഭോജോ രാധാ മധുനമോഹനോ. ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീപദ്രത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ മദ്രാദാശീലഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിവി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി. ശ്രീമന്നാസരസാരംഭി വംശീ വടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷൻ വേണുസ്വനേർ ഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥാശ്രിയേസ്തുന തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധൂഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ
కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్రిశే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాత్రియం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే. తం శ్రుతౌపంగోర్ మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వసవదాంబోజౌ రాధా మదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమోద శ్రీమన్రత్నాకరసింహాసనస్థో శ్రీశ్రీరాధాశీలగోవిందదేవో ప్రేష్టాళిభిస్సేవ్యమానో స్మరామి. శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభీ వంశీ వడతడస్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనేర్గోపేర్గోపినాథాశ్రయేస్తునా. ఈశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసందదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే కుల్లారవిందాయదవత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపం. ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవే త్రైగవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచాణూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథజలా గాంధారనీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల. అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సుతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తకకేశవ మహారాశర్యవజ సరోజమమలం ఈదార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరిగదా సంబోధనాభూదిదం. లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరః పేవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణీంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్ వంది దివ్యైస్తవై వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమౌపనిషదేర్గాయంతి యం సామగాహం. ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురా సురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. శ్రీ శుక ఉవాచ అత్రానువర్ణ్యథే భీష్టం విశ్వాత్మా భగవాన్ హరి యస్య ప్రసాదజో బ్రహ్మ రుద్రక్రోధ సముల్భవా త్వం దురాజన్మరిష్యేది పశుబుద్ధిమిమాం జహి న జాత ప్రాగబోధోధ్యం దేహవత్వం న నంక్ష్యసి న భవిష్యసి భూత్వా త్వం పుత్రపౌత్రాదిరూపవాన్ బీజాంగురవదేహాదిర్వ్యతిరిక్తో యథా నలా. స్వప్నే యథా శిరచ్ఛేదం పంచత్వాద్యాత్మన స్వయం యస్మాల్ పశ్యతి దేహస్య తద ఆత్మా హ్యజోమరాహం.
So, yesterday we talked about Sushupti, Swapnam, Jagrat, vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep. So, in the vacant state, as we mentioned yesterday, that Jagrat Sakshi means that experience in the Jagrat state is in the Atma Bhav. Atma Bhav means that you feel that you are experiencing everything. Is it not? In the vacant state, you feel that you are experiencing everything. Whereas in the dream state, you are separate and Jiva is separate. Atma and Jiva is separated in the dream state. You are remaining and watching the Jiva doing everything. That is why you are seeing everything separately in the dream state. So, whereas in the vacant state, it is in the Atma Bhav. You don't know about the Jiva situation. It is an important principle that in the vacant state, you are in the Atma Bhav. That means I am suffering, although identifying with the body, you are not seeing that separation between Atma and Jiva in the vacant state. Whereas in the dream state, you are seeing the separation between Atma and Jiva. That's interesting. If you think about that. So, and Jiva Bhavam, you don't know that you are a Jiva at that time. You know that you are Atma, but you don't know that you are a Jiva at that time. And all the happiness and distress you are experiencing at that moment. The reason for that is, in the vacant state, because all the mind and the senses are working, they are operating in the vacant state. Because the mind and the senses are operating, what's happening is that this misidentification happens. That your identification with the Jiva has gone and you are more in identification with the body and Atma. You think you are that. Identification is the whole problem. So, therefore, that Sakshi Bhavam, that means as a Sakshi, like what happens in the dream state, you are not able to see properly in the vacant state. Sakshi Bhavam, you are missing that in the vacant state. But when in the dream state, when the senses gets shut off, is it not? In the dream state, the senses gets closed down. So, therefore, what's happening in the dream state then? What's happening is that the vasanas are operating. The vasanas are operating in the dream state. In the dream state, vasanas are operating. So, but even though in the vacant state you are experiencing various things, this separation between Atma and Jiva does not happen. Even though you are in the vacant state, everything is in operation, isn't it? Mind is working, body is working, all the senses are working. In spite of all that, you are not able to feel the separation between Atma and Jiva in the vacant state. But when you go into the dream state, what's happening? Because the world is shut down for us, senses are shut down, mind is in operation, and our vasanas are working. So when the mind and the vasanas are working, it makes the Atma and Jiva to come separately. It makes that happening. That is why you are able to witness everything what you are doing, staying separately and seeing everything what you are doing. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? That when you go into the dream state, that whatever you are doing in the dream state, you are separated and you are seeing everything. You are seeing you are running. You are seeing yourself running around on the street. Elephant chasing you or tiger chasing you. You are catching a bus. You are traveling by train. And you are seeing all that. So that possibility is because in that dream state, only your vasanas are operating. Your samskaram. Vasana means samskaram basically. What is in your subtle body alone is operating. Whereas in the vacant state, because the senses are operating, the gross senses, like our five work knowledge acquiring senses, Jnanendriyam, because they are operating, therefore this separation between Atma and Jiva is not very clear. You are only thinking that I am Atma, but you don't know anything about this Jiva function. Jiva is also another function of the Atma. There's only reality is only Atma. But Atma manifests in different forms, in different places. It manifests as Jiva sometimes, most of the time, isn't it? So, that is important thing, that these experiences in the dream state and that force, Atma, which makes us observe and experience all that thing in the dream state, you get that separated in the dream state. In the dream state, you have it separated between the two. So, that was that last verse, you see. Sopne yatha shira chedam. In 13 verses, Shuga Brahmarshi managed to get the point to Parikshit. Only 13 verses. So, such a short chapter. Sopne yatha shira chedam. Panjatvad Atmana Swayam. Yasmal Pashyadi Dehasya Tada Atma Hajo Amara. He says. Supne Yadha Shiracharam. For example, somebody is in the dream state, somebody comes to you with a sword to cut your head off. And you are standing there and watching. He is coming with the sword and cutting your head. You are watching that. And when he is cutting your head, you are suffering in the dream, isn't it? And you are seeing the blood is flowing and your body and the head has been separated. And you are seeing all that. And you are dreaming that in the dream. And you are observing that your head and body has been separated. And I am seeing that in the dream. So, that living force which gives you or allows you to experience that thing in dream state. How is that you are able to do that? It's because of the presence of Antaryami inside, Atma inside. So Atma allows you to experience this, that your own body has been cut into two pieces, head separate, body separate. And you are allowed to observe that and suffer from that. So to make it clear that when you observe that your body and the head is separated and you are separately standing there and observing this, and by whose mercy this has happened, that is Atma. And that Atma is your real identity, not Jiva. Not Jiva. Jiva is that one where it has been cut into two pieces. That identity is Jiva. Atma is that one which you are standing there separately and seeing that it's being separated. And by whose power? And that's the power of that Atma, which is Antaryami. Nothing but Antaryami is the one which is coming as Atma. Antaryami is the one which is coming as Jiva also. There's only Antaryami inside. But Antaryami's power of that Atma, which is allowing you to see the separation of your own body into head and body separately. And that power is what Shukra Brahmashi is saying here. Sopno yatha shira chedam. സ്വപ്നോ യഥാ ശിരഛേദം പഞ്ചത്വാദ് ആത്മന സ്വയം യസ്മാൽ പശ്യതി ദേഹസ്യ തഥ ആത്മ അജോ അമര
തഥ ആത്മ
അജോ അമര ഈ സൈസ്. സോ സോ ആത്മ ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് പവർ വിച്ച് അലൌസ് യു ടു എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ദ ഡ്രീം സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. The dream, it's a state, isn't it, that you are experiencing at that time. So, Atma is that power which allows you to experience that dream state, and that is your real identity. That is our actual identity. And you can, this experience, this particular verse, you should sometimes reflect on it in a lot and see what a interesting experience that is. All the time you are thinking, I am this body, I am this body. But when you go into the dream state, you can see how you are separated from the body. Isn't it? Krishna separated you from the body in the dream state and put you there separately to observe everything what's going on with your body. Still we are thinking we are the body. As soon as you come to the vacant state, you are identifying with the body again, back into the body. That's one example. Look at the next example. ഘടാ ഭിന്നേ യഥാകാശം ആകാശസ്യാൽ യഥാ പുരാ ഏവം ദേഹേ മൃതേ ജീവോ ബ്രഹ്മ സമ്പദ്യതേ പുനാ. ഘടേ ഭിന്നേ യഥാകാശം ആകാശസ്യാൽ യഥാ പുരാ ഏവം ദേഹേ മൃതേ ജീവോ ബ്രഹ്മ സമ്പദ്യതേ പുനാ. ഘടേ ഭിന്നേ യഥാകാശം, ദീസ് എക്സാമ്പിൾസ് ആർ ഓൾ ഫിക്സ്ഡ്. Upanishad's example, as it is, he has taken there. Then there is a pot, earthen pot, there is a space inside, sky inside. That is called Ghatakasham. And outside the pot, there is a big sky. Sky is inside and sky is outside. But when the sky is inside the pot, it's called Ghatakasham. It's outside the pot, it's called Matakasham. So, but why do, Akasham is only one, space is only one. But because this pot has come, which is a medium or upadhi, due to the presence of the upadhi, we call it as space inside the pot and space outside the pot. Isn't it? That means the space that is inside, it's called ghatakasham, and the space that is outside is called madhakasham. So, what actually breaks up the space? It's the pot. Isn't it? It's the earthen pot. So, and once that pot is broken, what will happen? This pot that is in the sky will, the sky that is inside the pot will merge with the sky outside. Isn't it? Will merge with the sky outside. So, ghatakasham will merge with the matakasham. There will be only one space at that time. Similarly, Jiva and Brahman, or Jiva and Ishvara, how did these two things happen? Jiva and Brahman and Jiva and Ishvara, in a similar way, when we identify with our gross body and the subtle body, and if I identify with that, I became Jiva, and that is called Jiva. The same Chaitanyam or living force, when it starts identifying with a gross body and a subtle body, like in the pot, in an earthen pot, in a similar way, when it identifies with the gross and subtle body, it becomes Jiva. But when you start identifying that it is present all over in the creation, it's present everywhere, then he is called Ishvara. Look at Sukadeva Goswami's that famous words in the Bhagavadam, where Tam Sarvabhuta Hridayam Munimana Dosmi. Why Sukadeva Goswami is not Jiva anymore? He is always with the total consciousness, supreme consciousness. Whereas what has happened to us? We identified with the gross and the subtle body, and we are thinking we are a small limited particle, limited particle restricted to this body. Whenever somebody tells me, who are you? I say, I am this person living in this body temporarily. Whatever it be. I don't have identification with the Supreme Consciousness. Isn't it? So that is why it is saying here. To make understand what the difference between Jiva and Alpa. When it is on the Alpa platform, we are all one. There is no separation. When it comes to the Jiva level, we have all the separations. Why? Because of the identification of the body. That's why you are saying Dvaitam is also correct. But it is in that state when you are identifying with the body. At that time, Dvaitam is correct. Dvaitam is not wrong. But Advaita experience is not in the bodily level. This is the misunderstanding most of the people have. This is how can that be correct? Yes, it's not correct. I agree that Advaitam is not correct on the bodily level. But Advaitam is correct on the level of the soul, Alma, Alma. So, so from this you can understand that the position of the soul, Alma, is even beyond the Chittam. Beyond the Chittam. Chittam means that out of the four components, which we call it as the mind, intelligence, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, false ego, and finally the Chittam. Chittam is that. So, that Chittam, even beyond than that, is the position of Alma. Remember that verse, Dva Suparna Saija Sakhaya Samana Vraksham Parishasva Jade Tayoranyam Pippala Swadvati Anastananyo Abhijagashiti. That verse in the Chandokya Upanishad, Krishna has taken that and put that in the Bhagavadam. As you know, that Suparna, the two birds sitting on the tree, that verse, which is in the 10th chapter, I think. It is the same verse. Krishna has slightly altered the words, that's all. It is not in the 10th, 11th baby here. Yeah, 6th verse, 11th. 11, 11, 16. Suparnavedo sadrshav sakhayo yadrchayedo kridanidauja vrikshe ekastayo khadi pippalanam anyo niranobi belena buyal. That verse. This is the same Upanishad verse. Krishna has put that in that format. Egastayo khadadi pippalanam anyo niranobi balena buyal. Altmanamanyam, next verse. Altmanamanyam jasa veda vidwan abhipalado nadu pippalada yo avidyaya yuksadu nitya baddham vidyamayo yasadu nitya muktam. When there is avidya, you are bound. Nitya baddham. When there is vidya, nitya muktam. Liberated. So, vidya and avidya decides when a person is bound or liberated. That's all. Knowledge, vidya and avidya decides that, whether you are in bondage or whether you are in a liberated state. So, so that what you have to remember there is, we have the gross body and then we have the subtle body, right? So this bird, out of the two birds, that they say they are sitting on one tree, isn't it? That is a, just a poetical way of saying things to make it clearer. But there is Alma and the Jiva. They are the two birds, Alma and the Jiva. But Alma is sitting outside the subtle body. Jiva is inside the subtle body. That's the difference. But Alma is Jiva. Jiva is nothing but Alma. But the difference is, Alma is sitting outside the subtle body. Jiva is sitting inside the subtle body. Inside, outside is all for making it easier to understand. There is nothing inside, outside, all these things. It's just the way it is present there. Then, so for example, Chittam. Chittam means basically, to define Chittam, it is the collective vasanas of all lifetimes, what we have collected in many lifetimes. Sometimes we were a snake, sometimes we were grass, sometimes we were a worm, bacteria or whatever. In so many bodies we have passed through. So with every time when we pass through a body, we'll pick up some of the qualities of that body into us. Suppose we were a dog once, that dog mentality will be there in us. A little bit has to be there. Elephant also. Tiger also. So, a leopards also. So, that is why every human body is different. Why? Because what you have picked up in different bodies is in different degrees in all of us. So, that gives you a very transcendental variegatedness in us. That's why each one of us are so different. And so we are able to fight each other. Isn't it? So, because all that we have collected in different bodies are different things. Somebody carries the snake nature more, somebody carries the dog's nature more, somebody carries the tiger nature more. So, this way, in this body, we carry all everything. And that collection of all that is called a chittam. Collection of all the vasanas from all that. It is not a gross body that matters, but in that particular body, how that body behaves. That's what matters, isn't it? So that's why he's saying here that, and this chittam is a part of this sushma shariram, or the subtle body. Mind, intelligence, ego, and this chittam. I don't know what that is, because in English they don't have this vasanas, so they don't have chittam word, is an equivalent word for that. So, but these four things combined together is chittam. Now, it's called sushma shariram, or subtle body. So, this Atma, living force, is even beyond that subtle body, which means the chittam, but which is outside the subtle body, but it reflects, Atma reflects in this subtle body. It reflects means, it has an influence on the chittam. It has an influence on the ahankaram, both. It has an influence on the, when we say like this, we are breaking up only for convenience to understand things. Everything is actually only one force inside, which comes from Atma. And in that force, it's broken up into four to convenience of to understand it easier, to make it easier to understand. That's why it's broken up like this. Mind, intelligence, ahankaram, ego, and this chittam, four things. They are together, they are one, but for convenience sake, it's broken into four, depending on the function, what it does. So, and this Atma does not belong to any of these four. It is separate, Atma. But Atma reflects into all the four. So, when it is reflecting the Chittam, and then it reflects in the Ahankaram. First it reflects in the Chittam, then it reflects in the Ahankaram. And when it reflects in the Ahankaram, that is when you start thinking, feeling that I am a person. This I am a person comes at that point, when it starts reflecting in the ahankaram. In the ahankaram. First it reflects in the chittam, in the vasana. That's when it becomes a jiva. When it reflects in the vasanas, it becomes a jiva. When it reflects in the ahankaram, you get this individual identity. That I am. I. Some people will notice when they speak, in every word there will be two I or three I's in there. I've done. I is very strong in their speech, isn't it? So, this Chaitanyam or living force, which exists after reflecting in the vasanas, which is the jiva, which will always be associated with this ahankaram. So, ahankaram will be there and the jiva will be there. Whenever jiva is there, ahankaram has to be there. They are not different in one sense. So, because at that time, there is vasanas there and in the vasana is reflecting and that is called a jiva. And that time, naturally, he has identification with the body as well. By now, everything has happened. All the misery has begun. First of all, identification of the ego, self, as I am. And then in the vasana, it is reflecting as jiva, which means you are identifying with the body. Identifying with the body. Due to that, we have the bondage. That's what is called bondage, isn't it? So, the moment this misunderstanding comes that I am this body, what happens? Then we want to make the body happy. All bodily happiness builds up, starts at that point. And once that desire has come, you will start engaging in karma. Karma begins at that stage. Once the desire has come inside, due to identification with the body, you have the identification with the body, and once the identification is started, then the desires, the vasanas inside you will normally prompt you to develop happiness for the body. The vasanas will prompt that from inside. And once that desire has come, the next step will be that for the sake of that bodily happiness, you will engage in karma. You will engage in karma. And once you start engaging in karma, it will create its own vasanas. Karma vasana, it is called. Karma vasana will build up. And once that karma vasana has built up inside, in order to experience that happiness and distress, whatever that's come from the karma vasana, the jiva has to keep on accepting the body one after the other. So we are in that situation at the moment, going through that phase in our existence, going through this body, fulfilling its desires and fulfilling its trying to enjoy. And once that happened, that then he has to go through this cycle of birth and death. That means you will never leave this world. You'll be back here. Even if you go, you'll come back here and start the next life, wherever it may be, whatever form it may be, it doesn't matter. So the naturally from this you can understand the reason for the bondage or material existence is avidya, kamam, karma. Kundi Devi said this. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi, says. Avidya, first of all, this ignorance inside us. Then from that karma, avidya means this identification with the body. Due to that, desire for karma, desires has come. And due to that desires, action begins. Karma follows that. So avidya, kama, karma. Three things. So the person who is thinking, identifying with the body, thinking that I am this body, and that person is jiva. The one who is identifying with the body and thinking I am this body, he is the one who is called jiva. He is called jiva. And what is his place? His place is this gross and subtle body. Stula shariram, sushma shariram. Gross body and the subtle body is his territory. Whose territory? Jiva's territory. It is jiva's territory, isn't it? And and jiva, what it does is, he identifies with these two, gross body and the subtle body, and he remains in this. So, then, what happens? When a time comes, that with the effect of all the results of our own activities, what we have to experience with this gross body. The reason that this gross body has come is because from previous lifetime, certain part of that karma vasana has matured and it has given this body. Given this body. So this body has to, it's already decided what all has to happen in this body. So when this gross body, whatever results of karma that it has to experience, once it has experienced that, then jiva leaves this body. Jiva leaves this body. But because there is karma vasana still existing, it's not whole completed in this one body. Due to that karma vasana, the connection with the subtle body is not finished. Connection with the gross body is over. Subtle body, there is full of karma vasana inside. Because we have done so much karma before, it has all created so much vasana also. All that vasana is stacked up in the subtle body. A part of that, to experience a part of that, a gross body was given to us. So, when the particular portion of that karma vasana, when that is experienced, this gross body drops and goes away. Finished with that. But therefore, jiva's connection with the gross body is over. But karma vasana is still remaining there in the subtle body, because that is not dried up yet. The remaining karma vasana is still there, therefore connection with the jiva is not gone. That's why jiva still maintain a connection with the subtle body, even though it doesn't maintain any connection with the gross body. Think through all these things in your own time, and you can see that it is not that simple as we think about it. Karma vasana, what is inside us in the chittam, that is, we don't even have an account of that. How much it is there, how long it's going to take, how many bodies we require. Because how many millions of lifetimes we may have gone through so many bodies and acquired so many karma vasanas inside. And even after coming to the human form, what all we have acquired here, we don't even have an account of that. So if that, we are helpless about it. There's no way of finding it out. Or if there's a proper, only the one who knows is Krishna knows. Uparwala. he knows. Nobody else knows these things, isn't it? So therefore, even though the relationship with the gross body is broken, the relationship with the subtle body is not broken at the time of death. Isn't it? So in order, because there is karma vasana inside, to experience that, he has to, this jiva, he is still looking for another gross body. Jiva is looking for another gross body because he still has karma vasana remaining in the bag, in the karna shairam. So when he realizes that I am not this gross body, I am not the subtle body either, pure consciousness, Atma Tattvam, Atma. When that awareness happens by the grace of the spiritual master and Krishna, and after he has executed sufficient sadhana for that, and when he realizes through self-realization, he comes to know that complete connection with the gross body and the subtle body is broken. That is called a liberation. Complete connection with the gross body and the subtle body is broken. See what he said there?
Ghade bhinne yatha akasham, akashasyal yatha pura, evam dehe mrute jivo, brahma sambadhyade puna.
Brahma sambadhyade puna means he becomes Brahma. Brahma sambadhyade puna, he gets it back.
Evam dehe mrute jivo,
the jiva's situation has gone at that point. And total connection with the gross and the subtle body is over. Subtle body is over. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that Yana Agni Sarva Karmanam Bhasma Sad Kurite Arjuna. When the fire of knowledge is burning inside, that means it can happen through different ways, either through jnanam or through bhakti. When through jnanam, what happens is it burns this subtle body. Burns means that through knowledge, the power of knowledge, Krishna is saying, through the power of jnana agni, through the power of knowledge, this all the vasanas inside, it gets burned. Jnana agni and sarvakarmanam. Sarvakarmanam means all the karma vasana. That's what it means. Karmana means karma vasana inside. That vasana that is inside. Bhasma sad kurite Arjuna. It gets burned into ashes, Krishna is saying. Jnana agni, through the power of knowledge. So, jnana margam is that. When it burns all that subtle body, which is carrying all the vasanas in there, that completely gets burned at that point. Jnana agni sarva karmanam bhasma sad kurite Arjuna, he says there. So, this gross and subtle body is that earthen pot we were talking about. The sky inside and sky outside. Gross and subtle body is the earthen pot. So, this earthen pot, is like a upadhi. Upadhi means a medium, isn't it? Because of the presence of the earthen pot, you are saying there is a sky inside, which is called ghadagasham. And similarly, and this jiva is jiva's position in relationship with that is like the sky. Is like the sky. When it is inside stulam sushma shariram, stulam sushma, gross and subtle body is the earthen pot, right? In this gross and subtle body, which is the earthen pot, when it is inside this, it is called a jiva. When the pot breaks up, there is no jiva anymore. There is only one sky, and that it merges with the Brahman outside. So at that time, it becomes Atma. So when the gross and subtle body breaks up, when the gross and the subtle body breaks up, or in other words, when the pot breaks up, the sky that is inside the pot goes and dissolves to the main space, isn't it? There's only one space then. There's no two spaces. Similarly, when this gross and subtle body, when it completely gets destroyed, at that time, this identification with this gross and subtle body, that means up to that time, I'm thinking that this is me. Which one? This gross and subtle body. When I lose that misunderstanding, when that misunderstanding goes away from me, at that time, jiva changes its identity. It's not jiva anymore. It becomes Paramatma. So that is the principle. So that's what he is saying here. That ghate bhinne yatha akasham, akashasyal yatha pura, evam dehe mrude jivo, Brahma sambadhyade puna. Ghade bhinne yatha akasham, akashasyal yatha pura, evam dehe mrude jivo, Brahma sambadhyade puna. You get back your Brahmam identity again. Brahmam identity. Jiva identity is gone. So you can see Brahmam is called jiva only at the time when you have a gross and subtle body together. And gross body will drop first. That will go anyway. But subtle body is not possible to drop like that. Subtle body is not possible to drop like that, isn't it? So that is where the difficulty is. That there in the Jnanamargam they call it as vasana kshayam. Vasana kshayam means all the vasanas inside what we have, it gets dried up inside due to the knowledge or through bhakti. Either way, it can happen. So, but what is interesting here is this state, without this body, gross and subtle body, this was our original state. But, and when we were identifying with this gross and subtle body, even at that time also, this Chaitanyam or the living force is still remaining as Brahmam. But only thing is, we are saying mistake, falsely identifying with the body. Nothing has changed in the Atma. No change has happened in the Atma. It is a misunderstanding that has happened. This identification with the body is a misunderstanding. And when you lose this misunderstanding, then you are back into your original state. So our original state is not this, with a gross and subtle body like this with us. This is not our state. When we lose this gross and subtle body, then we come back to our normal state. Remember this famous story in the Upanishads. It is in the Yoga Vasishtam also this. A prince who is from a very high royal family, he was supposed to become the king. But somehow or the other, a group of people kidnapped him. A prince. They kidnapped him. And when he was very small, they kidnapped this little child and took him away with them. And they wanted, for their begging activity, they wanted a child, to using the child to beg. And they trained him up like a beggar. Actually, he is a prince. But they kidnapped him and then trained him up like a beggar. And when he got trained up like a beggar, he had developed that qualities of the beggar, because he was trained like that, how to beg, how to act in front of the public. And public will actually, when you are begging, they will abuse you, and they will show no mercy to you, insulting, and all other things will happen. So the child got used to that. But actually, he is a very rich person. The son of the king, who is supposed to inherit a huge kingdom. But his state now is a beggar. But even though he is a beggar, he is still the prince in the kings of the eyes of the king and the ministers and the kingdom. He is still, they are looking for him. Where has he gone? They are looking for him. But unfortunately, he is wandering around like a beggar with all the other beggars and begging for food and begging for living in this world. Isn't it? Similarly, due to our identification with the body, when we are caught up in this world, material existence, and here we are running around in miserable state, not knowing what to find, where to find happiness, and trying to adjust this, adjust that, and running in circles here, trying to find some happiness in this world. Even though when all these things are happening, we are still Atma. This is the relationship, just to tell you that, how it works. Like the prince, he is still the prince. As far as the royal family is concerned, he is still the prince. If they find him, they will get him back. They have not found him yet. But so therefore, he is running around like a beggar in this world. Similarly, all of us are, by our pure nature, we are not this, what we are running around here and doing what we are doing here. Our nature is Aham Brahmasmi. We are Brahmam. We are not this. But while going through living in this world and running in circles here, and experiencing all the miseries of this world, even at this point, we are still Brahmam. That you shouldn't forget. We are still Brahmam. Even though we are told, there was a big Mahatma in Gujarat, I mentioned this before. He had disciples. And these disciples were, one, two disciples were fighting, quarreling, or some arguments between them happened. So they went up to the Mahatma, one of them, and told the Mahatma that, look, my god brother, he is abused me, called me a donkey or something like that. Something he called me, he said. So Mahatma asked him, how many times did he call you? He said, no, he has only called me once, but that's enough, isn't it? He said, he's called me a donkey. That's enough, is the one. So Mahatma says to him, I have told you 1,000 times that you are Brahmam. You never believed me. But he called you donkey once and you have accepted it. It's all over the world. It's the same. It's not different. Just to show to us that our nature is like that. That in the same way that Krishna is, Shobramashi is saying here, that Manasrajadivai Dehan, next verse, Manasrajadi Vaidehan Gunan Karmani Jalmana Tan Manasrajade Maya Tato Jivasya Samsrati. Manasrajadi Vaidehan Gunan Karmani Jalmana Tan Manasrajade Maya Tato Jivasya Samsrati. Tato Jivasya Samsrati. So even though hundreds and thousands of times we are reading Bhagavadam, that identification is not happening with Brahmam. Instead, we are happy to continue doing the same thing, life after life, with different bodies, and suffer through this process of this life, isn't it? So, Krishna is, Shobramashi is saying there, manasrajati vai dehan. That means, vasanas inside your mind creates the body. We know that, isn't it? Mind creates the body, isn't it? Mind creates the body. Body doesn't create the mind. Mind creates the body. That's the first thing. Manasrajati vai dehan. If you only because mind is there, body has come. From the mind, body comes. And if the mind is full of vasanas, accordingly a body also. So the particular body what we have is based on the vasanas that is inside the mind. That has turned out in... It's a gross form is the body, the subtle form is the mind. Subtle form is the mind. So many bodies we are accepting, the cause of that is this mind. And which is nothing but karma vasana. Our karma vasana. That is what is inside the mind. And that mind, which is called karma vasana, or the vasana also, but as we have acquired from different lifetimes, normally it is classified into three, which is prarabdham, agamam, sanchitam. Three categories of karma. And accordingly we have three bodies also. Stulam, sushmam, karanam. These three bodies are based on these three different kinds of karma. Sanchitam means that is in the bag, at the bottom of the bag. That means when that will fructify and will give you a gross body is not known to you. You don't know that. This body, bag is full, right? With all the vasanas from all the lifetimes what we have collected. And that is that which is at the bottom of the bag. When that will fructify and that will develop in a body, form of a body, is unknown to us. And and that means that is acquired in so many lifetimes, but which is still has to come out. It is still there in the bag. That is sanchitam. That is which is lying at the bottom of the bag, which has not even come out from the bag. Prarabdham means that vasanas that has now become fructified. And for what purpose you have taken this particular body? When this body was decided, already it is decided how much happiness and distress, all karmam you have to get through this body. How much karma vasana has to get finished up through this body. All that is already decided. So accordingly, all the results of the karma from the bag that has been taken out, based on which this body has been, material nature has given us this body, and this body will experience all the results of that karma and it will get exhausted through this body. So every time from the bag a bunch is taken out, karma phalam, karma vasana in other words, and when it is taken out and a body is formed for that, that's called prarabdham. Bag is one. In that bag everything is stored up. Part of it is taken out and you use it. And when you use it, this gross body comes. And so when it is time to use that results of karma, vasana, accordingly a suitable material body is offered by the nature, by the material nature. And that jiva, according to Krishna's decision, he will have to accept that body. He has no choice. All these laws are set. There is no concession there. Every jiva has to accept a body at that time according to its prarabdham. So when prarabdha karma is picked up from the bag and when it is formed in a gross level with a gross body, it is given accordingly. According to the vasanas that's being taken out from the body, a body is prepared by the material nature and given to us. And this jiva has to accept that body. Jiva has to accept that body. and that is why he mentions here, manasrajati vai dehan. See that word? Manasrajati vai dehan. That's what that means. Manasrajati vai dehan. Mind creates the body. The secret behind that is this. That mind is a bag, it's a subtle body. In that subtle body, there is full of vasanas. And a part of that is taken out. Once you take it out from the body, that means it needs a gross body to experience that vasana. And then material nature provides this gross body depending on that vasana. That's why these variations in all of us, because all our vasanas are different. All our vasanas are different. So based on that vasanas, a body is created, because only if you have a proper body suitable for that vasana will get exhausted through that body. You see? So therefore, we all look different. We all have different way of doing things. We all have different way of... We will hear the same thing and we all will form different understanding about it. Why? Because of the vasanas inside. Remember, Uddhava also asked the same question to Krishna. Vedam talks about one thing. All the acharyas are talking different ways. Why? Krishna says, that's not their fault, it's my fault. He says them. Krishna says to Uddhava, because these modes of nature, they have influenced them, every one of them. And they all have their own understanding according to their modes and their vasanas. They are understanding things differently. So that is why one rishi is saying that truthfulness is the most important thing. Another rishi is saying austerity is important. Another rishi is saying that penances are important. So why these differences of opinion like this? So Krishna says the answer to that is this. He said, Vedam nobody understands, because everyone is under the three modes of nature, including the rishis. They also have effect of the modes. So they, and according to their vasanas and the modes, they have come up with different commentaries also for the Vedam, like the acharyas also, in the same way. Nobody is outside that. So Krishna is saying that there. So that is why he mentions here that the mind is actually creates the body. Mind creates the body. And he says, Gunan Karmani Chalpana. All these verses are from the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita's message taken out. Manasrajadivai Dehan Gunan Karmani Chalpana. Gunan Karmani Chalpana, he is saying. Gunan Karmani Chalpana. That means the karma vasana inside, in the mind, the karma vasana inside the mind is the one that makes a person good or bad. It's the vasanas inside. Gunan Karmani Chalpana. So it is the vasanas inside that makes a person good or bad. Makes of a person good or bad. That you can see yourself. Vasanas are there inside. And it is spoken in the conversation between Jadabharata and Rahugana. Bharata and Rahugana. So, according to that gunam inside, he will engage in karmam. And then result of that karmam is, results of that karmam will come. Results of the karmam will come. So, this important principle, that inside there is gunam in a person, vasanas inside, and he will engage in karmam, and according to the karmam, results will come. But what is speciality about us, human body? Human body is that we are, at the moment, we are experiencing our prarabdham, isn't it? Prarabdha karmam, we are experiencing now in this form. But at the same time, we are doing new karmam. Same time. One side, we are going through the prarabdham, results, we are experiencing. Simultaneously, we are engaged in new karmam also and acquiring more vasana. So bag never gets emptied. We want to make sure the bag is always full so that we can keep coming back here again and again. So, now if you start thinking, am I suffering because of the karma that I have done now, or the done that has come from the past? All these things, you won't be able to analyze it and able to clearly say Is it the result of now, what I have done, or is something what I have done in the many lifetimes before, when that was done? All these things, with your thoughts and analysis, you won't be able to find it. But in this lifetime, both things exist. That means, in this only in human body, you acquire these both, pious results and the results of impious results. Pious results and the impious results, you can only acquire in the human form, only in the human life. All other species, animals, birds, bees and all that, or that means the lower bodies, or in the higher bodies, demigods' bodies, which is in the heavenly planets, all you are doing is, you are experiencing the results of your action. You are not creating karma anymore. That's an important principle. That when you go into the higher planets, say for example, you manage to get in there, in the Indra's planets, heavenly planets, there you don't create karma there. You enjoy the results of your pious activities, what you have done here. The results of that, to experience that, you can go there, enjoy it. While being there, you are not creating any karma there. Similarly, if you go into the lower bodies, that means birds, bees, tiryaka, it's called in Shastram, called tiryaka. It means that bodies have got different. We are vertical ones. Animals are horizontal ones. Birds are like this, isn't it? Bird's body is like this. So, the vertical ones, the horizontal ones, and the angular ones. The three different kinds of bodies. So, and in all these bodies, what you are doing is you are experiencing, running your karma out. Running out the karma. That's all you are doing. Heavenly planets as well as in the lower bodies. Lower bodies. Even in this world. Only in the human body, what we have now, we create fresh karma and fresh results. So, that is why, you remember, Lord Brahma, when he created this body, he felt a great success with this, our body. What did he say? Srishtva Purani Vividana Jayalpa Shaktyam. You will see one verse in the Vrikshan Sarin Sripa Pashun Khagadam Shamalsyan Taiste Radushta Kridayam. I think it is in the 13th. It is in the 9th chapter. 11th canto. 9th chapter. Why Brahma felt happy about this body? He felt that his technology has worked at its best in this body. What he wanted, he got it done in this body. It didn't have, because demigod's body, you can't have create any karma. You just exhaust your pious results there in the heavenly planets. And in the lower bodies also, there is no karma. Any other body, say for a tiger, or a snake, or fish, or aquatics, or plants, or trees, they have no karma. Because they don't create any karma. Only in this body, this facility is there. Version 10 Microsoft. Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayalpa Shaktyam. See that verse 28 in the 9th chapter. Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayalpa Shaktyam Vrikshan Sarin Sripa Pashun Khagadam Shamalsyan Taistey Radushta Kridaya Purusham Vidhaya Brahmavaloka Dishanam Udamapadevaha. Why did Brahma get happy by creating this body? Because Brahma understood that he created Vrikshan Sarin Sripa Pashun Khagadam Shamalsyan. All different kinds of bodies he is creating. After creating all this body, he was still not happy. Adushtakradaya means he was not satisfied. Then, Purusham Vidhaya, ultimately, Brahmava Loka Dishanam Udamava Deva. He found out that because this human body has got this facility of creating karma, because it's able to create karma, it's also possible to get rid of karma in this body. which means self-realization is possible in this body. It's complex if you think about it. See, we have to go to lower bodies. Why? Because of our sinful activities, isn't it? We have to go to higher bodies. Why? Because of our pious activities. So either way, whether you go to higher planets or the lower planets, it's all causes karma. But in those bodies, this facility is not there. It is only in the human body we have the facility to make it zero, balance the books. You can balance the books in this body. You can make it 0-0. No pious, no sinful activity. That's what's called liberation means. So Brahma understood that that's possible in the human body. You can make it happen in such a way that both the pious and the sinful activities can be completely wiped out here in this body. That is why he is saying here, Brahmava Loka Dishanam Udamava Deva. Brahmava Loka Dishanam. He could see that it is possible to realize the Brahmam. Brahmava Loka Dishana. That you can look towards that self-realization state, and that pleased Brahma. That pleased Brahma. Brahmava Loka Dishanam Udamava Deva, he says there, isn't it? So that intelligence is only in the human body. Manasrajadi Vaidehan Gunan Karmani Chalpana Tan Manasrajade Maya Tato Jivasya Samsrati. Tato Jivasya Samsrati, he says there. Tato Jivasya Samsrati. So, and here, in the human form, both these things are there. And only in the human body, you will acquire pious results and also sinful reactions. Sinful reactions, both. In other, as I said, in other species, lower bodies, or in the higher planets, in the higher bodies, all you are doing is you are experiencing the results of the karma. Nothing more than that. But as I said, punya karma, that means pious activities, their results is what you are experiencing in the heavenly planets. Krishna says this, this is in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Kshine punya martilokam vishandi. Remember, every devotee knows that word. Kshine punya martilokam vishandi. He says, we are not coming to the heavenly planets because after that we have to come back here again. Is it not? Kshine punya martilokam vishandi. That is what. So when the punyam runs out, martyalokam, back here again, we have to come back. And similarly, results of our sinful activities is lower bodies, like the birds, the beasts, the animals, and plants, trees. When you are further down the line, go into trees and plants, and aquatics and things like that. And only in the human body, where you are experiencing your prarabdham, and while experiencing that, you are engaging in another karmam and creating new karmam results also. So all these things happens only in the human body. That means in the human body, you are experiencing karmam, prarabdham, that is running out. Simultaneously, you are doing fresh karmam. And you are acquiring fresh results from of that karma and filling the bag again. And that is what he is saying there. Manasrajadi vaidehan gunan karmani chalpana tan manasrajade maya tato jivasya samsradi. And then when this mind, Krishna, Shiva Brahmashi is saying there, this mind has developed. How did this gross and subtle body comes out from the mind? Because of the ajnanam inside, ignorance inside. So due to that ajnanam, tan manas rajade maya tado jivasya samsruti. See that? Tan manas rajade maya tado jivasya samsruti. So from ajnanam, the mind was formed. From the mind, gross and subtle body was formed. And according to the karma vasana inside the mind, karmam comes. And when you are experiencing that karmam, different births will come. You will get different bodies. And this is how the jiva is rotating in this material world. We are all rotating in this pattern. in this pattern. First of all, ajnanam came, avidya came. With that ajnanam, what has happened? Karmam. Avidya came, desires came. With the desires, karmam came. From karmam, karmavasana came. From karmavasana, karmam continued again. And that karmavasana got built up in the bag. And that, when it became very full, part of it has to be exhausted, so it came into form of prarabdham. And due to prarabdham, we got a body and a mind. And in that body, that prarabdham gets exhausted. But while getting exhausted, we created fresh karmavasana here, in this body. And then it goes and gets filled in again into the bag. So, sneham, next words. Sneha adhishtana varti agni samyogo yavadiyate tato deepasya deepatvam evam dehakrado bhava rajasattva tamo vritya jayate tha vinashyati. Sneha adhishtana varti agni samyogo yavadiyate tato deepasya deepatvam evam dehakrado bhava rajasattva tamo vritya jayate tha vinashyati. Shiva Brahmashi is saying, say you have a lamp burning there. You call it a lamp when? When there is fire. And from fire there is light coming from that. Suppose we are talking about an oil lamp. Oil is there, the wick is there, and then you light the wick and from the oil comes and it burns through the wick. And the fire, the flame is there. Isn't it? The flame is there. So, fire comes in the form of flame there. How long? When do you call it as... when do you call the fire as a flame? As a flame? So, for that purpose, you require first the lamp, the pot or wherever the oil is kept, isn't it? And in that pot there should be oil. And in the oil you require the wick. And the wick must have the fire. So when the wick with the oil is there, and when you set the fire to it, that fire becomes a flame. It becomes a flame. The process in which it happens, isn't it? And that is when you call it as a lamp. You call it as a lamp. So, first, in the pot you have to, in the lamp, you have to pour the oil in the pot, and then you have to put the wick in there, and then you set fire to it, and that time, you light the matchbox, you set fire to it, at that time, it becomes a flame. It comes out from that. So, it is called a lamp at that time. Properly when it's giving the light to us. When the lamp, it is burning. And so, that time, you are calling the fire as a lamp. Fire as a lamp. So, and it remains as a lamp till the oil runs out. Is it not? When the oil runs out, it's not a lamp anymore. So, similarly, this state of jiva, how long will it be there? How long will it be there? And that is what he is explaining there. That sneham adhishtanam varti agni samyogo yavadiyade. Agni becomes a lamp only when this adhishtanam is there. Which is adhishtanam? Adhishtanam is this pot, the oil, the wick, and then when you set fire to it, then agni is a lamp at that time. So, sneham adhishtanam varti agni sam yogo yavadiyade tato deepasya deepatvam. You can only call it as deepam. Deepam means lamp. Deepam. Deepam is lamp. Tato deepasya deepatvam. Deepatvam means that lampness. When you call it as a lamp. Actually, it is fire. But now it is giving you light because of the presence of the oil and the wick, and you have set fire to it. It's giving you light. Then you call it as lamp, isn't it? Is it not? So fire, but actually it is fire, but it is appearing in front of us in the form of a lamp. So that is what he is saying here. Tato deepasya deepatvam evam dehakruto bhava sneham adhishtanam arthi agni samyogo yavadiyade tato deepasya deepatvam evam dehakruto bhava. He is saying here, just like this deepam, deepam means this lamp, has got its lampiness, or what do you call that, the nature of being a lamp, is only there when all these things are there. Which one? The pot, the oil, the wick, and the fire. When all they combine together, you call it as a lamp. But if it's only fire, then you don't call it as a lamp. So fire, we are experiencing in the form of a light, but making it as a lamp. That's what he's saying here. Tato deepasya deepatvam. Similarly, he's saying, evam dehakrado bhava rajas sattva tamo vrityam jayatetha vinashyati. He's saying here that this agni, fire, which makes a lamp, in a similar way, brahmam becomes a jiva. Jiva is this lamp-like situation. Agni is like the Brahman situation, right? When it has gross body and a subtle body, and you have identification with the body, and you are thinking that I am this body, when all these things happening, then you are like a Deepam. Brahman is like a Deepam. That is the comparison here. Then he is saying here that Stuvila Sushma Shariram, that means gross and subtle body, is that pot. In there, you are identifying with that pot, pride, ahangaram, identification with that. I am that. That is the oil. That's the oil. The senses, that is the wick. The senses are the wick. And in the place of fire, which you are lightening the wick, is the Atma. Atma is the one, is like the fire. When you light this lamp, after rubbing the matchbox, you light the lamp. Similarly, in a gross and subtle body, you have got your identification there. So gross and subtle body is the pot. And the oil that is inside is this. Which one? Gross and subtle, in the oil that is inside is this adhyasam or abhimanam, that I am this body, ahangaram, inside us. That is the oil inside that. So, gross and subtle body is necessary, ahangaram is necessary. And then we have the senses, that is the wick. Because we have that wick burning inside in the ahangaram, ahangaram is the oil, and it is burning inside, in there, you are lightening the fire. And that is that fire is the Chaitanyam, Atma. Atma. So, at that point, what happens? This gross and subtle body, the senses, and what a senses means? Senses means, senses is in between the gross body and the subtle body. The middle. The connecting link between the gross body and the subtle body is the senses. You see? Senses. So, you can say more or less, if you want to say it, you can say it's a part of the gross body, to some extent, because it appears like that. But on a functional level, it is between the gross body and the subtle body. Can you understand that? That, you see, subtle body is the engine behind everything. It operates, right? And the gross body does what subtle body tells that to do. But actually the message from the subtle body, where does it come first? To the senses. So, in order for the gross body to function, the senses have to be activated. When we refer to senses, 5 knowledge acquiring senses, and 5 senses of action. So all the senses are nothing but a middle position it has between the gross body and the subtle body. Between the gross body and subtle body. But and the senses have got one interesting thing, that in the subtle body, all that senses are acquiring from the world sends its impressions to the subtle body and it gets stored there. When senses engages in the activities in the world, it creates vasana, isn't it? Senses are causing that. And that vasanas are fed into the subtle body. It's fed into the subtle body. And on the other hand, it's a part of the gross body. Which one? The senses. So that is why senses are in between the subtle body and the gross body. It remains in between. And it feeds the subtle body on the one hand. On the other hand, it's a part of the gross body. It's a part of the gross body. So, and that power which is present in all of this, where the gross body, the senses and the subtle body, he is called a jiva. He is jiva. Which is nothing but, as I mentioned before, is a reflection of Atma in the chittam, in the vasanas. So this identification with the gross body and the subtle body, that's what we have got. Jiva has got, that's why it's called jiva. He's got identification with the gross and the subtle body, and his identification that I am that, I am there. As long as you have that, one has that identification, you will remain as a jiva. You will remain as a jiva. That means the same Atma will remain as a jiva as long as this identity is there. As long as this identity is there. That's why he's saying that sneham adhishtanam varti agni samyogo yavadiyade tato deepasya deepatvam evam dehakrato bhava rajas sattva tamo vrtya jayateta vinashyati. Rajas sattva tamo vrtya jayateta vinashyati. He is saying here that as long as this identification with the gross body, when it breaks up, that identification through knowledge, that means when the oil runs out in the lamp, then what happens to the wick? That lamp disappears, and that flame that was there, it goes back and joins the fire. Is it not? It turned out to be a lamp or a flame. Fire became a flame for some time when all these things were there. When the pot was there, oil was there, the wick was there, and when you introduce the fire into that, it became a flame. But once the oil runs out, what happens? Once oil runs out, the wick will die. We cannot create the flame, because as long as there's oil supply, only then the flame will come. But once the oil runs out, the wick will run out, wick won't burn anymore, there won't be any flame. What happens? The flame goes back and joins its original fire. Fire is always existing as an element, isn't it? It's existing. All you have done now is that you have changed the nature of the flame, fire, into a lamp form, into a flame form, in other words. So that will be over. And when, similarly, he's saying here, then when the oil runs out, then that flame goes back and dissolves in its original form of agni, fire. It goes and dissolves there. Similarly, when we lose our identity with the gross and the subtle body, and at that time, when we lose our identity with the gross and subtle body, then that reflection of Atma, which was present there as the jiva, that force, that goes back and dissolves in Brahma. Goes and that is when Aham Brahmasmi state. Aham Brahmasmi state. That is why you will see in the seventh verse, Rajas Satta Tamovritya Jayateta Vinashyati. At that time, what has happened? What does that mean? It means Rajogunam, Sattogunam, Tamogunam. All three of them has gone. you have to remember this, that when we say vasanas and all that, it's how is vasana created? It's all due to the influence of the modes of nature. They have the biggest role. See, for example, when we do one thing, we create ragadvesham, isn't it? When Krishna does something, there is no ragadvesham in there. Why is that? Because three modes of material nature cannot touch Krishna. Whereas whatever we do, three modes of material nature will be there in that. So that is why it is like that. When we do something, it will have its vasana inside us in some form, whatever karma we have done. Whereas for Krishna, there is no such thing. There is no vasanas inside. So therefore, that is why when Mahabharata war happened, after killing everybody, Krishna is smiling, standing there and smiling. Whereas everybody else is beating their chest and crying. So many people died and this, that and the other. We express all our condolences, as we say. And then we have condolence meeting. And then we have what else we have? Remembrance meeting. And so many meetings we have after that to express our deep concern for the departed soul. And all kinds of big, big words we talk about it at that time. All in ignorance. Krishna never conducted a meeting like that. You may have noticed that in the Bhagavad. Why? He doesn't need it. We need it because we believe in all these things, isn't it? So that's the difference. That's the difference between Krishna and us. There is no three modes of nature in him. So therefore, whatever he does is absolute. It doesn't have any, it's not creating any effect, any impact, not even a slight mark inside, whatever that's happening through that body. So therefore, that difference. That's why it is mentioning here, Rajasatta Tamavritya Jayateta Vinashyati. Rajasa tamasa satugunam avritya jayadita vinashyati. They all disappears at that time from him. So then so this material existence, what we call it as material existence, is caused because of this particular type of body what we have got. Particular type of body what we have got at the moment. That's why we are feeling material existence. Gross body, a subtle body, a causal body. What we have now, it is due to these three bodies what we are brought it together through karma. Through karma what we have collected. And it is due to the very nature of this body we are feeling material existence. It's no necessity to blame the world outside. That is not responsible. Why we feeling the miseries of this world? We say, oh, world is miserable. The main underlying principle is this, that we have got a body like this. That is why we are feeling this misery. We've got a body like this. So, and not only that, when we say we have got a body, we have identification with this body. Isn't it? And the identification. So, samsaram or samsara bandham. And when we realize our real identity, who we are, at that point, or our nature as Atma, in the Atma level, when we realize as who we are, then this connection with this gross body, subtle body and the causal body will go. Only at that time, when we realize who we are, when we realize who we are at that time. So along with that, we will get liberated. We are not feeling anymore this misery of the material world. That is why that word, Rajas Satya Tamo Satva Tamovritya Jayate Atha Vinashyati. That line is explaining that. Rajas Satva Tamovritya Jayate Atha Vinashyati. And then he is saying there, Natatralma Soyam Jodi Jodi Yo Vyakta Vyaktayo Para Agasham Ivaja Dharo Dhruvo anandopamastataha Natatralma swayam jodidyo vyakta vyaktayo para Adasham ivacha adhara Adharo dhruvo anandopamastataham. So when the gross body and the subtle body is getting destroyed, still that living force which is called jiva is not dying. When the gross body and subtle body is getting destroyed, still that thing called jiva is not dying. That means jiva has no death, really. What's happening to jiva is it goes back to where it came from. Like in the case of the lamp, when oil runs out, still fire remains, isn't it? Fire in its original form still remains. You can again create another lamp if you want, because fire is still available. Is it not? So the element called fire never gets destroyed. What got destroyed is only the flame. Similarly, when the gross body and the subtle body gets destroyed, flame appears to get destroyed, but actually flame doesn't get destroyed. Why? Flame goes back to its original element as fire and join gets dissolved there. That is why you are able to create another flame again, because this basic element called fire is still living. Is still living, isn't it? So that is why Agni is called Mahabhudam. Remember that word, Mahabhudam. Mahabhudam means there are five elements: earth, water, air, ether and fire. They are called Pancha Mahabhudam. They are always there. They can change. For example, fire can come like this in the form of a flame, and then it will go back again to fire. Similarly, water can come out in the form of waves or bubbles or ice or steam. In different forms, water can come. But eventually, their original source is water. They all can go back and join water again, isn't it, when they get changed. So their original state is called Mahabhudam. Mahabhudam is Agni. Mahabhudam is Jalam. Mahabhudam is Bhumi. That means earth, water, air, ether, fire, all they are Mahabhudams. Mahabhudam means their original form. From there they have come and they will change themselves into different forms, and then they will go back into their original form again. Just like the way it has come and become a flame and gone back to fire. So, similarly, this Chaitanyam or this flame, what we call it as Jiva at the moment, it doesn't die with that. What happens to Chaitanyam is it becomes Paramatma Chaitanyam. That one Chaitanyam which is present all the time everywhere, that is Paramatma. He goes back and joins that Paramatma Chaitanyam. That is what he is saying there. That he says here, Na tatralma swayam jyoti vyakta vyaktayo para akasham ivajadharo dhruvo anandopamastadam. Dhruvo anandopamastada. And he will continue to remain like that. You can see there, why did he say like that? Dhruvam anandopamastada. He says, his nature, that even when he goes back, this jiva's nature is saying, when jiva goes back to Brahman and gets dissolved there, because he has got the qualities of Brahman. What is Brahman's quality? Satta, Chitta, Anandam. Sat is the quality of Brahman, isn't it? What is Satta? Satta means eternal. And that quality is in the jiva also. So therefore jiva cannot get destroyed. Jiva can go back and joins the original source where it came from. Like the flame comes from the fire or the ice comes from the water. But it can go back to its element in the same way jiva can go back and joins the Brahman. Jiva can go back, joins the Brahman. So therefore he is saying here that he, this Chaitanyam, because it's Chaitanyam, that's what it is. Chaitanyam means living force. It's a living force, isn't it? Consciousness, in other words. That, and it has its quality that it's very independent. This Chaitanyam is very independent. Independent in the sense, it doesn't require the help of anything. It can exist on its own. It can exist on its own. Whereas body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, all of them requires him to exist. But he doesn't require all these things to exist. Anvayam Vedregam in the Bhagavatam beginning, if you go back. He doesn't require any of these things, but all these requires him. That's the relationship between the jiva and the body. See that? So, that is what he is saying here, that he remains inside us and he gives power to all the body. Body, senses, mind, intelligence, everything he works, operates from inside when he comes in. Therefore, he uses the word vyaktam avyaktayo para. Vyaktam avyaktayo para. That means he is beyond the gross body, which is vyaktam, and he is beyond the subtle body also, which is avyaktam. Vyaktam avyaktam. Manifested and unmanifested. Subtle body is the unmanifested one. Gross body is the manifested part. And we are busy with the manifested part. Unmanifested, we don't bother. We say, well, who cares about that? People are, this is called avidya. This is the avidya inside us. And it is so difficult to get rid of that from inside. Isn't it? Avidya means that subtle body inside, you are not bothered about it. You are all the time, 24 hours busy with this gross thing. So that's why I'm saying and this Chaitanyam is beyond this gross and the subtle body. Vyaktam avyaktayo para, he says. So, and he is different from these two. Which one? Gross body and the subtle body. Which one? The Chaitanyam or Jiva, isn't it? Para means his Swarupam is Atma. Jiva's actual Swarupam is Atma. That is why they use this word reflection. Yeah? Why do we say reflection? Reflection means in our experience, we look like that it is separate from the original source. And they, in the Bhagavatam, in other places, you know what that example is? Reflection of the sun in the water. If the water is polluted, the sun looks, say the water is colored water, some red color or green color. Sun looks green or red, depending on the water. So similarly, if our vasanas are, depending on our vasana, the reflection of Paramatma in the vasanas will vary. And that's why we have different way we act in this world. But when this gross body and subtle body die, this reflection will go back to the original sun, which is in the sky, never untouched by anything, completely independent. So that is what Shukla Brahmarshi is saying here. And he is... And because he is there, he is the Adhishthanam. Adhishthanam means that this gross body and subtle body can all operate only if he is there. Adhishthanam. So, and he never changes. He remains as he is. Pure consciousness, never touched. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is what it is. And he has no beginning, no end either. And he doesn't take birth. He doesn't get destroyed. And he is eternal. Shukla Brahmarshi is making the position very, very clear to Parikshit. Making it very clear and completely in a very precise way. He is defining that. Look at the next two verses. Na tatralma swayam jodi jodidyo avya. Yeah. Na tatralma swayam jodidyo vikta vyaktayo para. Agasham ivacha adharo dhruvo anandopamastatam. Then, evam atmanam atmastam atma neivamrsha prabho buddhyanumana garbhinyam vasudevanu chindaya. Evam atmanam atmastam atma neivamrsha prabho buddhyanumana garbhinyam vasudevanu chindaya. Vasudevanu chindaya, he is saying. So, in this body, and which is a ubhadi, they are called ubhadi, isn't it? Gross body, subtle body, they are called ubhadi. Jiva is caught up inside this. The Brahman is caught up inside this body, ubhadi. And that jiva, know that jiva as Paramatma, who is present everywhere, in everybody. He says like that. Evam Atmanam Atmastam Atma Neivam Rusha Prabho Buddhyanu Mana Garbhinya Vasudevanu Chindaya. Think like this, he says, that this jiva who is caught up here in this gross and subtle body is nobody else than that Paramatma, who is no different from him, but he is caught up in this body. Use your intelligence, analyze it and realize it, says Buddhyanumana Garbhinyam Vasudevanu Chindaya, says Shiva Brahmarshi to Parikshit. Vasudeva means one who lives everywhere. Vas means to live, isn't it? So Vasanam means to live in everywhere. So Vasudevanu Chindaya, know him that who is present in everybody. Thinking that in that way, know him that who is caught up inside this gross and subtle body is that him. Know that. That's what he's saying here. Evam Almanam Almastam Almanevamasha Prabho Buddhyanumana Garbhinyam Vasudevanu Chindaya. He says here that Jiva know him separately as that part of Paramatma. Actually he is Paramatma, but who is caught up in this gross and subtle body. Vasudevanu Chindaya, and know him with devotion in the heart, knowing well that he is very pure and sublime, and with the devotion as he is the Vasudeva Swarupam, Paramatma Swarupam, or Vasudeva he is, and use your intelligent discriminative power and know it in that way. That is all what he has to say to Parikshit. But because it's coming from Shukha Brahmarshi, and because it's Krishna who is speaking from Shukha Brahmarshi's heart, Krishna hearing in Parikshit's heart, actually all these things happens at that time to Parikshit. It happens to him. Then look at this way. Evam Almanam Almastam Almanevamrsha Prabho Buddhyanumana Garbhinyam Vasudevanu Chindaya Chotido Vipravakena Matuam Dakshadi Takshaga Mrityavo Nobhadakshandi Mrityunam Mrityumishwaram Chodido Vipravakena Natuam Dakshadi Takshaga Mrityavo Nobhadakshandi Mrityunam Mrityumishwaram. And in that way, remember this, that what is that? You realize this, that you are actually Satya Chitta Anandam. Perfect Atma, Purnam Vastu, Atma Vastu, and not this body. In this way, if you have known that, he's saying, Takshaka, who was supposed to bite you, isn't it? He's supposed to come and bite you. Who will be prompted by the that little boy, Shringi, prompted by the little boy. And that Takshaka will not be able to bite you. If you come to this realization, Takshaka cannot touch you anymore. Is it not? Then only if you are identifying with the body and remaining as the gross and subtle body, all it means something. But when you are not identifying with it, you already left it, you have gone and joined your original source, then it will not happen. One thing we have to understand here, people sometimes misunderstand that Takshaka has come and bitten and Parikshit died. Isn't it? But that is spoken by the ignorant people. Takshaka came and bit Parikshit and Parikshit died. Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't say that. Shukha Brahmarshi doesn't say that. Shukha Brahmarshi is saying Takshaka will not be able to bite you. That is how Shukha Brahmarshi says. Will not be able to bite you. Because in reality, has Takshaka managed to bite Parikshit? Actually not. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, no, it hasn't happened. What happened was, the curse of the Brahmana did not actually happen to Parikshit. By the time Takshaka has come, already Parikshit has become Brahmam. Aham Brahmasmi state. He has gone. What has happened was that Parikshit Maharaj has become his Atma stage. Atma Tattvam has happened to him. And one who has become Atma, Brahmavit Brahmaiva Bhavati, Upanishad says. One who knows Brahmam, he has become Brahmam. So through self-realization, he has become Brahmam. He has already become Brahmam. So there was no question of Takshaka touching him. Tathagata couldn't get hold of Parikshit at all. Parikshit has already become Brahman. He has become Brahman. Like, that means through self-realization, he has become the Atma, Atma Tattvam. Remember this? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Nainam Chindandi Shastrani. Do you have Bhagavad Gita? Then, Achadhyoyam, Adahyoyam, next verse, I think. Akledyo Shoshyam Evacha, second chapter. I think around 14, 15 in that side, verses. Nainam Chindandi Shastrani, Nainam Dahadi Pavaka. When Krishna is saying to us that, when Krishna is saying, just one second. 23, yeah. Nainam Chindandi Shastrani, Nainam Dahadi Pavaha, Na Chainam Kledyam Kledayandyapo, Na Shoshayadi Maruda. The soul can never cut to pieces by any weapon, nor burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. So because Parikshit realized who he is, all these Tathagata, there's no question of Tathagata biting him. Because he has come to his original identity, isn't it? And soul can never be cut to pieces by any weapon, nor burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. That's why Krishna says all these things there. And then in the next verse you look, Achedyoyam, Adahyoyam, Akledyo Shoshyam Evaja, Nitya, Sarvagadastano, Achaloyam Sanadana. This individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble and can be neither burned nor dried. He is everlasting, present everywhere, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same. Eternally the same. So those two verses is worthwhile remembering at this time when Parikshit is gone. Because if anybody says Tathagata came and beat Parikshit and he died because of that, that's ignorance. That's not proper understanding. Bhagavatam doesn't say this, Shukha Brahmarshi doesn't say that. What Shukha Brahmarshi is, Parikshit is, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying there, he was already gone. He has become Brahmam. Aham Brahmasmi has come to him, happened to him. So by the time Parikshit and our Tathagata had come, everything has gone. Everything is gone from there. So then the question is, gross body is concerned, that has to die anyway, one day or the other. Is it not? One day or the other, this gross body has to go. Has to go. And the destiny of that gross body, if it is meant to be bitten by a snake and turned into ashes, if that is the destiny, so what? It's the body that Tathagata has bitten, and naturally because of the poison's power, or power of the poison of Tathagata, the body burns into ashes. That's the destiny of the body. That let it go through, that is prarabdha, so what? That has nothing to do with the reality, isn't it? So that was the decision. Because what was Shringi said, that seventh day it will be bitten by Tathagata and he will die. And that curse only applies to the gross body. Only applies to the gross body. And that word also has come true. Word also has come true. It was destiny already, judgment was given that he should die. That means the gross body should die. And that was also executed. The law was also executed. So, therefore, what is it pointing out to us? That if you realize the self now, now, not later, not after death, now, if you realize the self, before Tathagata comes, you have to realize the self. Before Tathagata comes, and then we will also become to the same state, Atma Tattvam, like Parikshit has become. And he will be able to, never be able to touch you. Never be able to touch you. Look at the 11th verse. When when he is saying that, it is at that turning point in Parikshit's case. It's a turning point at that time. See that? When he has realized who he is. Aham Brahma Param Dhamam Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samichanna Altmanam Altmanyathaya Nishkale. You can't have much more clarity than that verse, isn't it? Aham Brahmam Param Dhamam Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samichanna Altmanam Altman Adhaya Nishkale. Altmani Adhaya Nishkale. Altmanam Altmani Adhaya. See that? Altmanam Altmani Adhaya Nishkale. He says there. That means that gross body and the subtle body, mistakenly I am living now in these two bodies, gross and subtle bodies, and I am identifying with that. And due to that identification, I am called a jiva because of this identification. And I am like, but still I am actually Paramatma. But while I am with this gross and subtle body, I am jiva. So when I am living like that, when I have realized that, he's saying there, I am now realizing that who I am. Who I am. And aham brahma param brahma brahmaham paramam padam. I am that truth, Paramatma. I am not different from him. Aham Brahmam, Param. Param Aham Param Brahmam. Aham Param Brahmam. And I am that Parabrahmam, he says here. And there's two things there. If you look at that verse. Aham Brahmam Param Dhamma Brahmaham. He says Aham Brahmam and Brahmaham. Two statements there. Why did he say like that? It's very interesting, actually, that verse. Aham Brahmam Param Dhamam Brahmaham Paramam Padam, he says. Also, one says Aham Brahmam. That was sufficient, isn't it? But again, he's saying Brahmaham. I am Brahmam and Brahmam is me. Reason, we will explain that, what it is. Then, so, he says, I am Brahmam. That means Aham Brahmam. Aham Brahmam. And that Brahma Tattvam, I am that. I am that. So, we also have to know this, that unless you become that Brahma Tattvam, you won't experience Brahma. You won't experience Brahma. So, in our pure state, we are Brahmam, isn't it? We are, actually we are Brahmam. But in our present state, we are not feeling that. And now you are saying, Aham Brahmam. You are saying, Aham Brahmam. And then you are saying, Brahma Aham. Two statements there coming. So, you can see here that Altman, I will explain that. Altman, Altmanam, Evan Samichan Altmanam Altman Yathaya Nishkale Altman Altmanam Adhayam. So, in this Brahma Tattvam, Brahma means Brahmam, in that Brahma Tattvam, you are Jiva. You are a Jiva now. Parikshit is a Jiva. So, that Jiva Chaitanyam, you have to know it as Brahmam. First thing. First thing, you have to know that Jiva is actually Brahmam. And then you have to make that Jiva know it as Brahmam and then join it with the original Brahmam. Yeah? Yeah. First you have to know yourself as Brahmam. First thing is that to know yourself as Brahmam. Then you have to join this Brahmam with the original Brahmam. Big Brahmam. Brahat. Brahmam means Brahat. Big. All in the terms of, we are talking about consciousness now. That's why it's very abstract, isn't it? It's not a matter we are talking about. But we have to express it in the like matter we are talking about. Pure consciousness, your limited consciousness at the moment, what is called a jiva, you have to know that it's not limited. It is consciousness in full consciousness. First you have to know that. And then this limited consciousness has to disappear and become the full consciousness, one consciousness. That is what that is. That. So he's saying here, that means this living force which is Jiva, you have to know it as Brahmacharya. Now it is called Jiva Chaitanyam because of what? Association with the gross body, subtle body, the identification with that. Due to all that, it is called Jiva Chaitanyam. But when you become Brahma Chaitanyam, Jiva Chaitanyam and Brahma Chaitanyam, Chaitanyam is one, but due to identification it's called Jiva, or due to its pure form it's called Brahma, Brahma Chaitanyam. So, know that, he says there, Aham Brahma, that verse is a very tricky verse in the sense, Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samikshan. You see that word, Samikshan. It says, Evam Samikshan. Realize it that way, he's saying. Evam Samikshan Altmanam Altmanyathaya Nishkale. So, I am that Brahmam and that Brahmam is me. First you realize I am that Brahmam and then you realize that Brahmam is me. From both sides. Why is it spoken like that is, see, normally when you realize the self, who you are, first you realize who you are and then you realize everything else in this creation is also you. That is why it is spoken like that. First you realize who you are. That's first step. And then when you realize what will happen, you will realize everything else in this creation is also you, like the way Shiva Brahma she's talked about. Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam. That stage is the second step. So, not that I will remain like this as I am and I will realize everybody else is me. That will never happen. First you have to realize the self, yourself. So self-realization is always first which starts with you. If you realize the self who you are and then you will see that same realization will permeate into every other living being. And you won't find any kind of differences anymore with other living entity. So that is what he's saying here. And he says here, so, Parabrahmam, so in these two levels, what is the reason in these two levels it's spoken? It is like this. What is the two reasons? First it says, I am Brahmam. Then it says, Brahmam is me. There's a slight difference there. Did you notice that? First you are saying, I am Brahmam. Then you are saying, Brahmam is me. It's not the same. There's a difference there. So, why did he say like that? Because, I am Brahmam, aham Brahmam. That's all. I am Brahmam. With that understanding, I came out of the body. First step. Aham Brahmam. With that understanding, I have come out of this body. Bodily identification, I managed to get out. With that first statement, Aham Brahmam. And in the Upanishad, this is called Brahmam Paroksha Nivritti. There is a stage of realization it is. A particular stage of self-realization. Brahmam Paroksha Nivritti. It calls like that. And that is how Shridracharyas has spoken about this. Brahma Paroksha Nivritti. That means this ignorance I had about Brahmam has gone. Initially, I was thinking this body, isn't it? Up to that point, I was thinking I'm this body and the mind. That ignorance had left me at that stage. That ignorance had left me. At the moment, we are still Brahmam. Even now, we are Brahmam. But in our perception, it's not there. It's covered. Maya's cover. Maya's cover is strong. Therefore, we are not feeling that. So, but when you realize Aham Brahmam, that coverage gone. Which one? Maya's cover has gone. And that means we have become Brahma Tattvam. We have come to the... In Tattvam level, we have become Brahmam. In Tattvam level. So, then, it is the next step. Say, he says there, Brahmaham. See that? Means, in when you read it, you look as though it's what's all big deal. You will think like that. Aham Brahma Param Dhamam Brahmaham Paramam Padam, he's saying. First he said Aham Brahmam, then he's saying Brahmaham. So there it is that once the coverage is gone, that means once you realize Brahmam, then why is it spoken? Because only when you realize Brahmam, the distress from material existence will go. At the moment, we have two problems. One, identification with the body. And then, the miseries of the identification. Miseries of the identification. So, identification with the body goes away when you realize Aham Brahmam. Miseries of the body goes away when you realize Brahmaham. Shitracharya's explanation all this. You can read in the commentary. He says, elaborately he talks about this. We have put in a very few words, that's all. But he goes into much deeper length about Upanishads and everything he brings it in to talk about it. You see how finer it is that when you realize you are not the body, that is good because then the identification is gone. But miseries have not gone yet. Miseries are still... miseries goes away when you... But these two things happen simultaneously. Aham Brahmasmi and Brahmaham both happens at the same time. It's quick, very, very fast it happens that way. When this happens, the other must happen. You won't remain in this one stage. But he has to be precise about it. That's why Shubha Brahmashi is saying to Parikshit that when Shubha Brahmashi is talking to Parikshit, he is talking from the Samadhi state. And Parikshit has been brought into that state already. So, Shubha Brahmashi has to make sure that he has got everything before he goes away. After these words are spoken, he has walked out from there. There is no sign of him. No phone number, email, nothing. He is gone. So he has to make sure that Parikshit is not asking for the phone number or won't ask for the email ID, anything like that. So, in order that to happen, these things has to happen. Aham Brahmam, Brahmaham, both has to happen. Because suppose Aham Brahmam only has happened and Brahmaham hasn't happened, which normally doesn't happen. If you are a personality like Shubha Brahmashi, it can never happen. But generally it won't happen like that. But still, he is saying all these things to make us understand that the self-realization is not a joke. It's a very serious affair. That when you realize the self, what exactly happens at that time? You become Brahmam and you lose not only your identification with the body, all the miseries that is of the material existence. In relationship with the body, what we are experiencing now, like birth, death, old age, disease, all those experiences, what is inside us, all the vasanas inside us, all kinds of prarabdham, what is inside us, everything goes with that. That is why these two statements there. Aham Brahma, Brahmaham. These two things he has spoken there. So, it is... So, the first thing is called Brahma Paroksha Nivritti. And Brahmam, that means the coverage that you are not the Brahmam. That is a cover on us, isn't it? You had a covering there. That's why you are not thinking about yourself as Brahmam. It's a cover due to that cover of Maya. And that goes away. And that goes away with that realization, Aham Brahma. And that, but when you realize that Brahmam is me, with that, all the miseries due to the bodily identification, what are they? That means all this birth and death, things like that. Up to that time you are thinking, I'm going to die, I'm going to take birth. They are all distress in us, isn't it? So, Janma Marana Dukham, birth and death, distress that's coming from birth and death, that also goes away with this. When you realize that, Brahmaham, that is the difference. Aham Brahma Param Dhamam, Brahmaham Paramam Padam, Evam Samikshan Almanam, Almanyathaya Nishkale. At that point, all your material miseries. Material miseries means birth, death, old age, disease, everything. Those things also gets destroyed. Gets destroyed. And you become one with that Paramatma. Ocean of Paramanandam. Ocean of bliss. And all your distress goes away. So when you become Aham Brahmam, you lost the miseries of the material world. Sorry, you lost the identification with the body. But when Aham Brahmam, when that comes, you reach the state where you experience the bliss of the soul. Remember that? The Anandam or the blissful nature of the soul you will experience when you experience that Brahmaham. Brahmaham Paramam Padam. So I am Brahmam, that was spoken. It is called Paroksha Nivarti, and that means it has removed that coverage. What was Maya has put on, that has gone away. And Brahmam realizing, Aham Brahmaham realization is that indicates the freedom from the all miseries of material existence. So those two things we have to remember. So as soon as you realize that I am Brahmam, then it is a blissful state. And Brahmaham, when that comes, it's a blissful state and all the distress is over. All the distress is over. That is, then it is after this clarification. After this clarification, look what Shukha Brahmarshi told Parikshit. After this clarification. Dashandam takshagam bade lelihanam vishananai nadrakshasi shariram cha vishwam cha pratakhal mana. Dashandam takshagam bade lelihanam vishananai nadrakshasi shariram cha vishwam cha pratakhal mana. That as soon as you realize that I am Brahmam, and as soon as you realize as Brahmaham, Brahmam is me. First realization is I am Brahmam, Aham Brahmam. Second realization is Brahmaham, Brahmam is me. With that, all distress is over. And when you are situated in that state, what he says here is that all your you will see that Shukha Brahmarshi is saying here, if you are situated in this state, which one? Aham Brahma Paramdhama Brahmaham Paramam Padam. If you have come to that state, then what will happen? That is what he is saying there. He is saying there that if you are in that state, Tatshaga has come. Tatshaga's tongue is outside. And it's full of poison. And you will see that Tatshaga. You will see that Tatshaga. When you are in that state, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit, you will see that Tatshaga. And you will see your body. And you will see this world. You will see the world. You will see that Tatshaga with the poison coming from his tongue. And you will see your body also, all as Brahmam. You won't find them different. They will also be Brahmam. That's what that is saying there. Dashandam takshagam pade lelihanam vishanane nadrakshasi shariram cha vishwam cha prithakalpana. Prithakalpana means not separated from the Brahmam. Atmana, from that one Atma. They are not different from you. Once you have realized everything is Brahmam, at that stage, this differentiation goes away. He is different, she is different, somebody else is different. All that differences disappear when Brahmam realization comes. That's what he is saying there. Dashandam takshagam tade lelihanam vishanane nadrakshasi nadrakshasi shariram cha vishwam cha prithak almana. See there, takshagam pade lelihanam vishanalam vishanane, that is on your feet trying to bite your feet with his poisonous tongue, that Takshaka, and then your body, Shariram, your own body, which is going to get burned, and then the world. You won't find any difference between these three. Prathaka Almana. All of them is Alma. All of them is Alma. That is what he is saying there. So, and you will be Brahmam. And Takshaka, who is going to bite you, will also be Brahmam. Takshaka's poison is Brahmam. Takshaka's biting is Brahmam. And the whole creation is Brahmam at that stage. And that experience of that Brahmam, the way he has spoken here, is what Shuga Brahmarshi, who is the most qualified of all the personalities, who gave it to the most qualified disciple, Parikshit Maharaj, to the Parikshit, isn't it? And gave it to him, established him in his Brahmam realization state, blessed him, and that is the ultimate goal of life. That is the ultimate goal of life. That is why, that is the purpose of studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, is this stage to come to. And Parikshit has got that. And similarly, what we have to do, just like Parikshit has done, to become a good disciple like that. Like Parikshit, to become a good disciple. And always acquire the qualities of Parikshit. Study Parikshit well, what he is like. Look at his realization. When he had all the opulences in this world, he was able to walk away from that. Why? Because he was so serious about self-realization. Isn't it? He thought, this is a golden opportunity Krishna has given to me. And when, because if you get a warning that in 7 days time you are going to die, is that not a good thing? We will see what we can escape from that. But Parikshit didn't do that. He thought that this is the greatest opportunity Krishna has given to me. He says that, isn't it? Vimarshitoye, he says that, I realize that Krishna has given me an advanced warning. 7 days time you have. So the same mood we as students of Bhagavatam are supposed to inherit from Parikshit. That's what is expected. Like Parikshit, to inherit that consciousness that anytime, 7 days time it can go, this body can go. Prepare for that. That is the message. And not only that, continuously hear Srimad Bhagavatam all the time. And in due course of time, what Parikshit has experienced, we may also get it by Krishna's grace. Of course, Krishna is behind everything. In any spiritual life, without Krishna's mercy, nothing will happen. We have to put our part into that, whatever we have to do. But ultimately, if Krishna sanctions, if Krishna is not sanctioning that, there must be a reason behind it. And that reason is our prarabdham, is holding it back. But putting the effort is our duty. That you can't write it off. That also we have to do that. So what he is saying here is that, the same, if you keep on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, continuously reflect it, contemplate on that, and this knowledge in the Bhagavatam, the same experience in due course of time can come to us as well. And avrti asakart upadeshan, Upanishad says, repeating it something is the way to forward, way forward. And how many times do avrti means repetition? How many times do you have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? Nobody can say that. Nobody can say that. But every time when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, never think that it was a waste of time. It was a waste of time. More and more, it is bringing us closer to that truth. Closer to that truth. And in this way, continuously, through Shravanam, Mananam, Shravanam, Mananam, in this way, if you continue serve Bhagavatam in that way, then it will take you closer and closer to the truth. And that is why they say, whatever you have heard, keep on reflecting, keep on contemplating on that, again and again and again. Because only if you perform this contemplation or mananam, the clarity will come from that. Otherwise it won't be clear, it will remain on the surface. But if it has to go deep down inside us and touch the core of our heart and has its impact inside us, mananam is necessary. Only then the clarity will come. what we are talking about. Because this is all very abstract for us, what Shagubrahmarshi is saying to Parikshit, isn't it? It's very abstract. Only Shagubrahmarshi and Parikshit know what is going on. We don't know what is going on. But what Bhagavadam is saying is, if you keep on doing this reflection, mananam and contemplation on Bhagavadam, it keep on going inside, trickling in one after the other, and due course of time, when the time is right for us, it will work. It has to work. It will work. That's what he's saying here. That mananam is such an important thing. Because we don't do mananam, that is the reason it is taking too long. It's going on like this. We think that 3-4 hours on a Saturday, Sunday is enough. Oh, I've given already 10 hours for Bhagavatam. What more do you want? If you start saying like that, balance 60 hours I've given to the world. Is it not? That's our present situation. So, and 10 hours is, we think now, 10 hours is a lot in spiritual life. Is it not? That's the problem. That's not, should not be. When you are not hearing Bhagavatam, you should be reading Bhagavatam. And keep on churning through this things, what Shukabrahmashi has spoken, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, Vidura, Maitreya has spoken to Vidura. There are so many parts in the Bhagavadam which all is pointing to the same experience to come at a later date. But how far, like Gajendra Moksham, Gajendra Studi, all the Studi and Upadesham is full of this message. So because only through mananam clarity will come. Clarity means that it will become yours. It will become yours. You will never be able to lose it again. Now we are losing it, isn't it? As soon as you step into the car, it's gone. Why are we losing it? Because there is not sufficient mananam inside. And even for the speaker, it's important to keep speaking about it, because it brings clarity inside. Brings clarity inside. And similarly, that is why repetition is an important thing in the self-realization process. So many people have told me, Prabhupada is constantly repeating everything. He says the same thing he's repeating again and again and again. They don't understand that. A very good person, he was a friend of mine who happened to read Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, he says to me, all through the commentary, he's repeating the same thing again and again. Chant Hare Krishna, Chant Hare Krishna, Chant Hare Krishna is this. It's not enough once you say that. Because normally that's how karmis think like that, isn't it? They think once it is enough, said, I've understood. So, but they don't understand how spiritual knowledge works. Spiritual knowledge doesn't work like that. Spiritual knowledge, therefore Upanishad says, then says, avritti. Avritti means repetition. Again and again and again, repeating the same thing. Then it will get clarity for the speaker as well as for the listener. And that is that clarity in due course of time will become in the experience level. So, for whom, when, how it will happen, that only Krishna knows. Nobody else knows. For whom it will happen, when it will happen, how it will happen, where it will happen, that only Krishna knows. Nobody else knows. And nobody else knows about that. And when it is the right time, any jiva has to get this realization. So, in this way, Shukabrahmarshi has elevated Parikshit to that state, and similarly, putting us into that state, Surubhasthiti, our actual identity, and in that way, taking us out of this material existence, what we have now, and once for all, put us back into our pure state, who we are, and that responsibility Krishna has. Never forget that. Krishna has that responsibility because our connection with Krishna is stronger than any other connection in this world. Krishna is trying to take us out from this. He would give us all the help we need, provided we also make that effort from our side. And therefore, Krishna has come in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam in front of us. Srimad Bhagavata Kyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. Isn't it? Pratyaksha Krishna is Srimad Bhagavatam, has come in that form. And therefore, Bhagavatam is considered to be the actual spiritual master in this age of Kali. And Bhagavatam is considered to be the greatest temple in this age of Kali and the greatest holy place. in the age of Kali, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavata Tirtham. And that is how all the Mahatmas take Srimad Bhagavatam in that way. So, with faith and with seriousness, with Shraddha, and with this enthusiasm and with total awareness, if you reflect on this Srimad Bhagavatam, again and again, repeatedly read Bhagavatam. So many people are reading Bhagavatam like that every single day. Hours and hours and hours they read Bhagavatam. And similarly, when they get an opportunity, they go and hear Bhagavatam wherever they can. And then when they are not doing either of them, they are reflecting on the Bhagavatam. In this way, they make it as their own, and gradually it will lead into self-realization. And it will lead into, in that way, you will keep going up in spiritual life. You'll get closer to that truth. And that is how he begins. Edathe kadidham tata yadhalma prashtavan rupa harer vishwal manas cheshtam kim bhuya shrodum ichasi. See that? He says, there. Edathe kadidham tata yadhalma prashtavan rupa hare vishwatmanas cheshtam kim bhuya shrodum ichasi. That's the interesting verse. He's saying here, after saying this, he calls in Tata. My dear son, you want to hear anything more after this? Yadhalpa prashtavan rupa. After realization, the king has become hare vishwatmanas cheshtam. This chapter began with vishwatma bhagavan hari. Now what is happening? Hare vishwatmanas cheshtam. Parikshit is realizing there is only Krishna everywhere. Harer Vishwatmanas Cheshtam. And then at that time he says, Kim Bhuya Shrotam Ichasi. Do you want to hear anything? You know, just like when we have, when we meet somebody and we have some business with them, when the business is all spoken, done, finally we'll ask, isn't it? Is anything else left to discuss? We'll say like that. What they call AOB.
Any other business.
Any other business. So, same thing. That's that verse. Is there anything else? Kimbhuya Shrodhamichasi. Shobramashi knew there is nothing else to know. Because he has reached that state, purpose of Bhagavatam is over there. So he is happy to leave. That's the end of that fifth chapter. Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda. So half nine, we'll have a break and then continue at